One of the things the book was most, or became most famous for contemporaries, was its descriptions of the sublime in nature, the responses to waterfalls and the grandeur of scenery in Scandinavia. Although, I should say, she never goes as far north as the grand fjords and the icy wastes of northern Norway. But still, it's a very sublime landscape. And as she says several times, it matches the landscape in Europe that was most associated with the sublime, that is, the Swiss Alps. The interest in the sublime in nature, dates really from, let's say, the middle of the 18th century. And it's most famously associated with Edmund Burke, who wrote a philosophical essay on the ideas of the sublime and beautiful. Although he was, in a sense, most in Wollstonecraft's mind at the time, as the author of one of the first conservative attacks on the French Revolution, which may partly explain Wollstonecraft's antipathy to Burke's idea of the sublime, because Burke's idea of the sublime was that it produced in one an emotional response, something like awe, and it was closely associated with fear, and it was a response to that which towers over us, and ultimately to the idea of God. Now, in the great passages of natural description and emotional response to nature in Wollstonecraft's book, we do get that sense of nature giving a sense of something beyond ourselves, larger than ourselves, of what she calls eternity. But one of the ways it's importantly different from Burke is that it's not really related to fear in the same kind of way. It's a kind of affirmation in Wollstonecraft of human possibility, and actually, in terms of her own biography at the time, the sense of there being something worth living for, given the disappointments she'd experienced in her personal life with Imlay. And also, I think, in the book, then associated with politics and the political possibilities of the French Revolution as something that would be a sublime affirmation of human potential. Whereas for Burke, in his reflections on the French Revolution, the revolution is actually merely grotesque. However, the book's not just concerned with the sublime, it's also quite concerned with the picturesque. And this also links in, I think, with Wollstonecraft's political and social economic interests, because the picturesque was associated with the idea of curiosity, whereas the sublime overwhelms us and transports us into ideas of things that are eternal and beyond the everyday world. The picturesque piques our curiosity and gets us to look into things and to think about the world around us. And Wollstonecraft often moves from those sublime set pieces to thinking in a more diversified way about the societies around them and their nature. And that's to do with her interest in the picturesque, which is an interest in a more humanly worked landscape. And it leads you on to think about what kind of people live there, what is the status of their societies, how do those societies compare with, I think, especially the three comparisons she wants to make, a Republican France, England, and it's a kind of submerged presence in the book, America, where she's never been, but where her brother lives and where her lover, Gilbert Imlay, comes from. Of course, it's another republic, another place where she could go away, to be away from the kind of what she regards as aristocratic oppression. So those two categories of the sublime and the picturesque are continually in play in the book. The sublime tends to get most attention because it's the grandest, but I think we will be taking them out of context and letting them dominate the book if we think that's all there. In fact, the more common movement in the book is to move away from the raptures of the sublime to thinking about a position in society. She talks at one stage about, although she thinks the landscape of Norway is absolutely wonderful and is sublime, she talks about the fact that if she had to live there, she would be bastilled in nature, and that she needs to live a life which has more of social interaction, if you will, in it.